we had a little Mikey clips on, and we had a 30-foot cord on that thing, and you know, you kept having to flip it around, so whatever. Well, I don't know if it's good or bad to start off a meeting with your main preacher or not. I don't really know. Because if he bombs out, then that means the whole mess is bombed out. And we surely don't want that. But we feel led of the Lord to go to Luke 22, and we're not dealing with the cross today. And so I thought I was going to tell you that. We're not dealing with the cross. But I do have a subject that God has dealt with my heart about. And I was somewhere the other day, and one of the men of God got up to preach, and he said, "My assignment for today is," and I thought, that's good. I like that, because when God gives you orders, then it's your assignment. And once the orders are given, they're not to be changed. And so let's stand, if you would, if you found your place in Luke 22, and I'm going to be reading verses number 39 through verses number 53. So follow with us as we're reading. "And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far? And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders, which were come to him, Do you come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Be seated, please. Let me pray with you. Father, we want to give you praises today for your mercy. And Father, for the wonderful grace of our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, for these dear people that are gathered out today, Father, to hear your word and to fellowship together. And we're going to ask you, Father, that you would meet with us now. And you would touch our hearts, Father, in a very special way today. I ask you, Father, to help Pastor Shepherd, that he would have your guiding hand to understand exactly what you want done. Then, Lord, I want to pray for every man of God that stands in this place to preach your word, that the divine hand of God would be on them, and that, Lord, we could glean, Lord, from them something that would help our soul. Bless us in these days, Father. And we'll thank and honor you in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Farrell made a statement a while ago that it is hard in these days to maintain friendships. Would y'all agree with that? I would agree. And that there's a lot of friendships that I've had that I did not want to dissolve. But actually it became necessary to dissolve that friendship because of the connections they had made. It's not that I want to, but it was just that you had to do it for your own preservation as a believer in the Lord. Well, this morning, I want to preach on this message, and it won't be a shouter, but I'm going to preach this morning on experiencing betrayal. I was in a meeting the other day, and a man of God was teaching on this passage, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Jesus Christ is your perfect example when you're facing betrayal. And there's probably not anybody here that served God any length of time, but what you have not experienced some form of betrayal as a believer. And you know, that is probably one of the most difficult things to deal with as a Christian, is when someone betrays you and when someone turns on you after having placed great trust in them. And so I want us to study this today and to see what the Lord will give us. And I'll try to be as quick as I can, probably go quickly, but now stay with me. So if I use the word betrayal today, I'm sure that you would already have your definition in your mind, at least a good understanding of what it means. But here is what the definition of betrayal means. It means to deliver or to expose to an enemy by treachery or disloyalty. Would that not describe what betrayal is, whatever it is that you've experienced? That's like betrayal. That someone has exposed you by treachery to an enemy or have been extremely disloyal to you. So I want to remind you and give you a couple of illustrations and move on. I was studying this, and I want to make this statement to start with. Betrayal is not always a benedict carnal. Betrayal is not always someone in our government that trades our government off for funds to another nation. But betrayal comes in all kinds of packages. One of the most common forms of betrayal is a spouse, neighbor that comes home from work or from someplace, and they find that neighbor, that spouse they were with that morning, kissed them goodbye, said, "I love you," and then never came back again. That is the most common form of betrayal that we see in these days. But now I want to remind you of some things that in my research I discovered. I guess it's a little place from here, but I read about this woman named Beth Morgan in Southern Pines, North Carolina. And Miss Morgan had a rare form of bone cancer and was placed in the hospital to receive treatment. And while she was in the hospital, she had her brother come and live in her house and to take care of her pets. And when she got out of the hospital from chemotherapy treatment, he had stolen her laptop computer, had taken her VCR and other items in the house, and had pawned them for his habits. And so her mother took sides with the brother, and the case was thrown out of court, and Miss Morgan said, "I feel like that someone has taken a knife and shoved it through my insides and left me to die." And she said, "I am resigned to never speak to my mother and to never speak to my brother again until I die." You know why? Because she felt betrayed by someone she had placed trust in. And that she was testifying that will it affect me until my dying day. And I'm going to tell you, if you're here today and you've experienced betrayal, it's affected you grievously. And that though you may have gotten over it to a degree, it will in essence affect you until the day you die. It will not go away. It will be there. It will be embedded in your memory forever. Y'all remember the guy named Bernard Madoff? You remember that guy? This broker in New York. And I heard an interview recently of him. And here is what he said. Matter of fact, he never betrayed his clients to the tune of $18 billion. You know, I have trouble getting a hold of a million in my thinking, much less 1 billion. And then you add 17 more to that. That's a fabulous amount of money. And here is what he said in the interview. He said, "I do not regret what I did." He said, "because the people that I dealt with were smart people and should have known better, and yet he ripped them off for $18 billion. And those dear people were betrayed, neighbor, by his trust. There was a man named Joseph Taylor out of Knoxville, Tennessee, and this is the last I'm going to give you, I think. But this man named Joseph Taylor was a broker in Knoxville. And he came out, whatever, he got caught up with, and he went to Rose Mortuary in Knoxville, made arrangements for his funeral, drove his Mercedes at the back parking lot, and took a pistol out and blew his brains out. Well, what had happened is this. He had developed a Ponzi scheme, and it ripped, multiplied millions. Matter of fact, they don't even know how many millions of dollars he ripped off. And he did business in our hometown, and two of my friends, one of them, lost over $500,000 to him, and another one lost nearly $1 million. And I asked one man, I said, how did you feel when you were betrayed? He said, preacher, he said, I had done business with this man for 30 years. For 30 years, I had used him to invest the profits that I had made. And he said, we trusted him implicitly without any reservation. And he said, when he come to find out what he had done to us, he said, I felt empty. He said, I felt totally drained. And he said, you could not take vengeance. You couldn't even feel vengeance because he had killed himself and there was nobody to take vengeance against. And he said, it's affected me to this very hour. Now then, with that in mind, let me say this to you. I have a preacher friend of mine, an older preacher friend, and this dear brother had pastored a church for numbers of years. He was instrumental in getting a younger preacher to take the ministry there and able to move it forward. Well, as a result, after a year or so, that younger preacher turned on him. I preached in a meeting back last summer, and after the meeting was over, I went to lunch, and I was the last one in. And when I got in there, he was waving his hands at me to come and talk with him. He said, preacher, he said, I want to tell you. I mean, tears streaming out of his eyes. He said, I had to leave the church. I said, why? He said, because the pastor there had turned on me and betrayed him. Well, that dear old man will take that to his grave. He will not forget being betrayed, neighbor, by someone he had placed his trust in. Now then, I want to say some more things to you before I get the scripture. I want to tell you what betrayal would do for you. What I'm going to give you here is coming from a study of the University of Zurich in Switzerland. And here's what the study said. It said that when someone is betrayed, it creates devastation in their life. In other words, there's a destruction that's involved. They almost feel like they have been destroyed from the betrayal. And in reality, both the betrayer and the betrayed ends up sensing the destruction. And they said also in the study, they said that it creates an isolation. Said almost all who are betrayed they have this, I call it the turtle syndrome, in which once you're betrayed, you want to crawl in a hole and you don't want to reach out to nobody else. You want to be isolated because you don't feel like you can trust anybody again. And so they said isolation. And there is a lamentation or grieving, and there is expiration or a turmoil or confusion. And here is one of the traits that people find that's been betrayed. And that is, they have a state of indecision. It creates a syndrome in their heart, who can I trust now? And I'm going to tell you, you and I don't care who you are, there's something in us that we want to trust somebody. We want somebody that we can trust and somebody that we can put our whole heart into and feel safe when doing it. And so when betrayal takes place, neither there is a hesitancy in order to trust anybody else. Now then, if I didn't say anything else, if betrayal creates stuff like that, then here's one thing I ought to do. I at least want to present my life so trustworthy that I would not create such a situation in people's lives. Is that not right? Now then, let me give you this, and that God gave me this in my thinking. I want to consider a moment the dividends of the betrayer. Now listen to me. Why did Judas Iscariot, why did he betray Jesus? Was it for personal profit? Think that. Every time there is somebody that betrays another, there is some sort of a profit that's involved for them. It may not be money. It may be power. It may be prestige. It might be possessions. But every time there's a case of betrayal, there is a certain amount of profit, neither that is looked for. And so, let me say this. Every betrayer, neither that betrays another, whether it was Judas or whether it's Benedict Darnell, whoever it is, every time they betray, it's for profit. But usually, the profit is more than they bargained for. It's always more than they're bargaining for. For instance, Judas, in the process of his thinking to betray the Lord, he received something he wasn't quite expecting to receive. And that is, the Bible said this, then entered Satan into Judas Iscariot. I don't think he was intending to receive Satan within. I don't think he was intending to be possessed by Satan. But I'm telling you, neighbor, betrayers, they misuse a trust so severely that it gives an open door for a satanic entrance in their life. And then, here's what he received. He received the profit of 30 pieces of silver. But there's always a payoff for betraying. There's always a payoff. Then so, what was Judas's? You remember this? The Bible said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Remember that? So how did it turn out for Judas? Judas, the Bible said, when he saw that Jesus was condemned, he felt guilty. Now then, he's received a gift he was not expecting. He did not expect to receive neither this guilt that he could not get rid of. I'm telling you, when you misuse the trust that people put in you, there's no doubt a guilt that's coming that you cannot get rid of. And so Judas's decision was, let me go put a rope around my neck and hang myself and get rid of this guilt. Well, he didn't. He didn't get rid of the guilt. Matter of fact, he went neighbor in places that he should not have gone, and Christ did not want him to go. So always now, and you bear this in mind, when you're tempted to betray the trust that someone has put in you, when you're tempted to betray that, you better remember that there's going to be a cost that's going to be greater than you want to pay. Now then, I want to remind you, there are directions in the Word of God to help us when we're facing betrayal. It's very simple. Jesus said this, take my yoke upon me, on you, and learn of me. So the simple instruction and direction for betrayal is this, learn of him. What did Jesus do? How did Jesus respond? How did he act? And what was the profit that Jesus Christ received as a result of handling the betrayal properly? So now then, let me give you another Bible verse. The Bible says, for even year and two were you called, because Christ also has suffered for us. Do you remember the rest of it? Leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Now then, let's go back to the passage that we read, and that's the introduction, if you want to call it that. Now, let's study this for a moment now. Number one, I want you to consider from this story here the source of his betrayal. What is the source of Jesus' betrayal here of Judas Iscariot? Well, I know you could say, well, Judas, yes, but let's refine our thinking a little bit about it. Number one, let's put it this way. It was from someone that Jesus chose to trust. Is that right? It was someone that Jesus Christ had chosen to trust. And normally, when you're betrayed,
it'll be
by someone that you have chosen to trust them. Number two, it was someone who was his companion. He was one of the 12. And he was with Jesus almost wherever Jesus was. So his betrayal is from someone that is a companion. Now then, notice this now. Now I'm going to read from Psalm 41. And the Bible said, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted." So it was a confidant. It was somebody that he was putting confidence in. And it was one of his company. Now I know that's running through that real quickly, but here's the idea. You don't trust strangers. When you meet a stranger, you don't open your heart to them. You don't lay your soul bare before a stranger. You lay yourself bare with those that are your companions, those that are your confidants, those that are your chosen, those that are nearest to you are the ones that you lay your soul bare to. Is that right? Is that not the ones that neighbor that you're going to trust and lay your trust in? So this is the type that Jesus Christ neighbor trusted. Notice if you would, verse 48. And I'll give you this now. Look at the sign of betrayal. Now, I'm talking about real betrayal. Now, I'm not talking about just somebody telling you a lie. I'm not talking about that. Now, I'm talking about real betrayal. Now, notice what Jesus said. That Jesus said to him, "Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" Now, consider that a moment now. Judas Iscariot is trading Jesus off, betraying him, and the sign of that betrayal is a kiss. Is that right? So let me ask you this now. What is a kiss? Well, we probably get here a lot of definition, but I went through the scripture and I tried to find out what kisses are, how they're used. And here's some of the things I find. They're used with respect, like Isaac kissed his son Esau. They're used for remorse, as Joseph kissed his father. And Jacob saw Rachel, who was part of his family he had never seen, he kissed her. And when Esau, his twin brother, saw him after 20 years, he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And so the idea is, it is an affection. So here Judas is, he's betraying Christ, and he's doing it with an affection. Are you listening to me? Betrayer does not want to come to you and look you in the eye and say, "I'm going to sell you out tomorrow." They want to kiss you on the cheek, love you, and tell you, "I'll be your friend forever," while the knife is going through your ribs and even coming out your back. I'm being honest. That's right. The first church I attempted to pastor, and I said that correctly, I was there 9 months. Well, I knew things was getting bad. I mean, I knew it. You get the sense it's getting bad. And so, I asked the only deacon we had, and I don't even remember his name now, but I said, "I want to know where you're standing. If you're my deacon, I want to know where you're standing." Well, that night, they had the vote. He was one of the first that stood and voted against me. Are you listening to me? So what do you have here? You had a man that was kissing up to me, had him as kissing me on the cheek. "Oh, yes, Brother Wells, I'll be there. I'm telling you, when they're digging your grave, I'll be there." "Yeah, buddy, you sure will to shove me in it." Amen. And so he was that way. And so here he is. He's giving Jesus a neighbor some affection and in order to try to throw off the betrayal. But can I say this? You know, you can't deceive Jesus. He already knew what's going on. Is that right? Amen. So now then, let's ask ourselves this question now. So if somebody is betrayed, how is it going to hurt? Did it hurt Jesus? Look, I'm aware that Jesus Christ was going to the cross of Calvary to die by the sovereign plan of God. I know that. But on the way there, it involved betrayal, neighbor, of Judas Iscariot in order to get him there. So now, let's see. Did it hurt Jesus? Hey, Jesus, did it hurt you when you were betrayed? Did it cause any problems? Did it cause any suffering when you were betrayed? Let's see if it did. Matthew, don't turn, but just listen. Matthew 26:56. But all of this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Listen now. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. I know Peter said, I'll never do that. I'll never do that. But nothing was said about the others. But if they came down to the wire, all of them went away. All of them fled and went away. So the betrayal, by the way, would they have gone away if Judas had not betrayed him? How would they have gone away if Judas hadn't kissed him on the cheek and betrayed him? No, they'd have still been there. So what happened is, it caused Jesus to suffer from his very own servant's rejection. His servants rejected him and fled from him at that point. By the way, if you're a pastor and or have been a pastor, and you felt the pains of rejection, some of those that you won to the Lord, some of those you helped along the way, that betrayal caused them, leaven no doubt, to go away and leave you, neighbor, standing to suffer by yourself. Notice that this is what it said. The Bible said in Luke 23:63, then the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. So what's happening here? The suffering of the betrayal is causing Jesus to suffer from social rejection. Whenever so they're rejecting him. So by the way, you know when somebody tells something bad on you, it's going to be believed a lot quicker than something good. I don't care if it's not even so. David, because you remember the book of Proverbs said, he that is first, he really seems just, he doesn't count. That's not the correct quoting of it. But he that comes first with the message always seems truthful and seems right until his neighbor comes and gives the rest of the story. But for the most part, folks don't want the rest of the story. They want the juicy garbage to start with, and they do not want to find out what the balance of the truth is. Could anybody agree with that? Surely. So notice now, neighbor, they're suffering their social rejection. But now I'm going to tell you this now, their spiritual rejection as well that Jesus Christ suffered. The religious sect of his day, neighbor, they rejected him. So he's having to suffer that. They should crucify him. But now, don't misunderstand now. I know what the scripture teaches, but I'm trying to get an application here. Did the righteous sovereign God of heaven reject him? Yes, he did. Christ had to suffer it all by himself. The system rejected him. You remember the power looked at him, he said, there is no fault in him. I don't find no fault in him. You remember that? But he's been betrayed, is that right? And notice what the Bible said. So Pilate, willing to condemn the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him and to be crucified. So here's what happened. The suffering of betrayal has reached the system, but it's reached, neighbor, the sympathy rejection as well. Nail them. I'm getting close to being done. So stay with me now. Here is what I want you to get. Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. My question to me is this. How did Christ Jesus safeguard himself in betrayal? Is there a way that I can safeguard myself when I'm betrayed by somebody that I placed my trust in? Is there a way that I can safeguard myself in order to be able to spare myself and come out of the betrayal, even not having lost my sanity and not having lost my testimony? Let's see what he did. Notice, if you would now, Luke 22. Are you there? Luke 22, and look at verse number 44. The Bible said, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was great drops of blood falling down the ground. So how do you prepare for betrayal? You better spend some time, neighbor, in prayer with God. Matter of fact, you better do it every day. You better keep yourself in prayer with God, because you never know at what hour the betrayal will jump up. And it's better to be in communion with him so you will have been prepared for it the moment it surfaces. Are we okay? Okay. Now then, look at your Bible again. So number one, he was in supplication before the betrayal. Now, and I know one thing, if you've got any faith left after betrayal, you're going to be in prayer after it, but it would be better to be in prayer before it so you will have some spiritual strength to face it when it arrives. Amen. Now look at verse 42. Now look again, verse 42. The Bible here is praying now, and listen to what Jesus said. He said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now let me ask you a question. How would you classify that statement, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done? Would you not classify that statement submission? Would you not classify that statement submission to God? And he's saying, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Are y'all hearing me? If there is no submission in your heart, or if your submission to God has become weak, I promise you this, the trial will be absolutely destructive in your life if there's not a submission in your heart to God when it arrives. You must be submissive to God. Oh, listen to me. Y'all, and I want to sidetrack a moment. Do y'all remember David when Absalom had rebelled and betrayed him? And Ahithophel had betrayed David. Remember that story? And you remember as they're leaving, you remember old Shimei is running across the hillside, throwing rocks at David. You remember that? Throwing rocks at David, cursing him as he went. And then Joab, I guess, one of those boys said, let me go take his head off. And David said, no. Said, let him curse. Perhaps God is sending you to do me good. And so David was submitted to God and was able to face that betrayal and that rebellion and come out good on the other side. I tell you, you better check the heart. You better make sure the heart is submitted to God. And if it's not submitted to God, I'll tell you a quick way for it to show up. Yes, for you not be submitted in a case of betrayal. When somebody betrays your trust, it'll pop up. You'll want to say, let me get a 2x4 and go beat their brains out. Oh, yeah. You say, Brother Wells, you don't sound like you're a man like that. No, that's right, I'm not. I use a gun. Oh, yeah. I'm made out of flesh just like the rest of you made out of flesh. And it hurts, don't it? It hurts when somebody betrays you. One of your first reactions is, I'd like to just beat them in the ground. I'd like to pulverize them so they can get what they deserve. True? True? So, neighbor, here's what I'm telling you. Jesus Christ handled betrayal by being submissive of His Heavenly Father. He did it by praying before it took place. And by the way, you're going to have a regular, serious prayer life in order to do that, because you never know when the betrayal is going to surface. You better be praying all the time. Number three, I want you to look at verse 51. You better maintain sympathy in your heart. Look at verse 51. And here he is. He's just been betrayed by a kiss. Is that right? One of his servants, Peter, cut off a man's ear. And the Bible said in verse number 51, Jesus answered and said, suffer ye this for. And he touched his ear and he healed it. Now, there's no way that I'm going to be able to touch anybody's ear and to heal it. But the principle behind that is Jesus Christ was showing compassion and showing sympathy in the midst of his betrayal. When I am betrayed, look here, and I've been there before, and it's awful hard, buddy, not to get your mind off the betrayal. But here's what happens. If you can somehow get your mind and your heart on helping somebody else, giving some compassion to somebody else, it will help alleviate the pain and alleviate the heartache even when you're being betrayed. Is that Jesus' example? Is that His example? Yes. Now look, and don't turn, but listen to Mark 15:28. In this betrayal, here's what the Scripture said. It said that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Now then, with that in mind, let me ask you this. In the betrayal of Jesus Christ, did Jesus Christ respond scripturally? Did Jesus Christ respond scripturally? Did he? Alright, so let's see. What can I say? If I mean betrayal, how can I respond scripturally? In the book of Jude, I'll draw a few verses from Jude. Here's what the Bible said. Beloved, but ye beloved, building of yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So the first thing I can do, to be scriptural, is to do my best to pray in the Holy Ghost when I'm facing the betrayal. Number two, neighbor, and that is to keep yourselves in the love of God. Is that not hard to do? Come now. Is that not hard to do when somebody has shafted you and done a number on you? Is that not hard to keep yourself in the love of God? But that's exactly what Jesus Christ said to do. Number three, Jude 21. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ on eternal life. In other words, you better somehow keep yourself positive. Keep yourself positive. If you concentrate on the trail, it will drive you in a hole. He said, keep yourself positive. Look for Jesus. Then verse number 22 said, and if some have compassion, keep pity in your heart. In verse 23 said, and others stay with fear. Keep reaching for them that do not know Christ as their Lord and Savior. You must concentrate in the right area and find those that do not know Him. Reach out to those that do not know Him. It will take your heart and mind off of the betrayal that you've been going through. I give you this and I'm done. Is it worth it? People know you've been betrayed. People know when you've been betrayed. They know that. And they're watching to see how you're going to respond. They want to know what you're going to do. They want to know if you're going to have a barn fight. They want to know if you're going to have an assassination. They want to know what you're going to do. I hope I'm not boring y'all. So, what happens if you handle it correctly? What happened to Jesus when He handled His betrayal correctly? John 12:32. The ultimate end of Jesus' betrayal was this. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, what? Will draw all men to me. Now, look here. The phrase, will draw all men to me, is that not a phrase of influence? Huh? Is that not a phrase that describes influence? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. The fruit neighbor of Jesus Christ handling his betrayal scripturally and properly is it gave him an influence that nothing else could. You better hear that, buddy. It'll give you an influence that neighbor nothing else will. When somebody's trying to shaft you for their profit, neighbor tried to suck you in and do you under, and yet you handle it scripturally, others are watching, and God will allow you to have an influence that will influence others along the way. Get it? Try it. On the day of Pentecost, there was 3,000 got saved. A few passages later, neighbor accepted 5,000. A few passages later, it's multitudes, both of men and women. Is it worth it? Do you want your influence up or down? Do you want your influence good or bad? What kind of influence do you want? I mean, do you want your influence junked? If you lose your influence, you might as well take the shingle down and go learn to do something else. Amen. So I'll give you this one, and I'm done. What are the motives for handling betrayal correctly? Influence is one, of course. That's how it's manifested. Here are some scriptures I'll give you. If I can handle betrayal properly, number one, here's a good motive. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now, if you know nothing about fellowship with God in the Holy Ghost, that will not mean much to you. It'll just be it'll be a nice little verse. It's easy to quote it because you've heard it quoted so much. But if you've been used to crawling in a hole somewhere and fellowshipping Him and having the Holy Ghost breathe on you, and you love that kind of lifestyle, you will not want to damage it. You'll want that lifestyle to continue and that fellowship of the Holy Ghost to continue life. Good motive, his neighbor, is so it won't grieve the Holy Ghost of God. All right? Number two, the Bible said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Is that a good motive? Do you want Satan to lead you around? Do you want, well, Satan don't manipulate and motivate me. Might be more than you think. Because if you're not walking right with God, Satan has a way of influencing you, and you don't even know he's influencing you. And I don't want Satan to have an advantage on me, do you? Well, Lord God, I've given myself enough trouble. I don't need any help from him, do you? That's right. So, Libra, a good motive is, lest Satan get an advantage on you. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up. Have you ever been bitter? Come now. Have you ever been bitter? Did it ever hurt you so bad you just came bitter as gall? Fun, ain't it? Ain't it nice? By the way, I'd get over it any time I want to. Hey, the roots are hard to dig out, friend. And the Bible said that bitterness has got roots to it, and it's hard to find the last root, neighbor, so it won't sprout up again. But see, if you can handle it correctly, it'll keep that root of bitterness from springing up. And lest any man fall after the same example, lest any of you be hardened to the deceiving of sin, lest he fall in the approach and snare of the devil. Beware lest any man spoil you, and that lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Every man, especially every man of God, that's ever been betrayed, and did not get over it, the Lord lost a servant, and the gospel of Jesus Christ was hindered. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I don't mean this to be ugly or mean, or, you know, I'm not trying to throw stones or anything. But coming in from downtown, the motel, we come to this United Methodist Church, whatever the name of it is. And on the marquee, it says, contemporary service, blah, blah. And then on the bottom of the marquee, it says traditional, and it gives a time for the traditional services. Well, probably in their state, the contemporary and the traditional probably don't make any difference, really. Right, probably don't make any difference. And they are no doubt hindering the true gospel of Jesus Christ by what they're doing and what they're propagating. But Brother Hall, they would not hinder the gospel any more than me if I allowed a betrayal to sink its roots in my heart and become bitter and concentrate on the betrayal. I would become an element that would hinder the gospel of Jesus. And there is not any modern services. There's not any contemporary services that I know of would have the divine power of God on it to bring life into a sinner. Only people like me and you that possess the true gospel of Christ, we know it. That message still has the power to bring life into people. And if I allow something like a betrayal to latch its hooks in me, I will become a useless vessel. I may not be dead, but I will become a useless vessel for the Lord. Don't let it grab you. You say, can I prevent it from happening? Not likely. Not likely. It's not likely you're going to prevent it from happening in your life. But you can prevent the results of it. You can prevent the results. Father, use your word. May the Spirit of the living God send it to our hearts so deeply that, Lord, we'd get help. And, Lord, there might be some dear people here today. And, Lord, they have been where I have been. And they have felt the pains of betrayal. And that, Lord, and realize how difficult it was to get over. And so I'm going to pray, Lord, should there be someone here today like that, would you allow them, Father, to have help today to be recovered out of the snare of the devil and become a useful servant of Jesus Christ again? We'll thank you in Christ's name. Pastor.